Welcome back to That's Wrestling. Things that make you say, my God, that's wrestling. And there's been a lot of it this last week. My name is Will Brazier, but that's enough about me. Joining me is Trent Seven. Trent, you've been here, there, everywhere. You've been watching wrestling. You've been wrestling. You've been enjoying wrestling. And you've been saying...
That's a lot of wrestling. That's a lot of wrestling, man.
Let's start with what you've been doing. Okay. AEW.
Well, AEW, obviously, I think it was like the most important kind of talking point right now.
Yeah.
More specifically for me, obviously, because I got the chance to go and hang out with some very, very good friends and catch up with some people. And we sat there in the lovely Royal Box.
Are you in the Royal Box?
Yeah. And I thoroughly enjoyed the event.
Did you do any of this? If you're listening on audio, that's
did a lot of waving.
The Royal Hand waving.
Did a lot of waving, a lot of one sweet signalling.
Oh, yeah.
Some moustache twizzling.
Did that not get people talking,
Well, they can talk as much as they want.
Yeah, they can.
Please, talk as much as you want. Online.
Yeah. Let's just keep pushing that a bit further.
So the show was fantastic. Obviously, it's a very, very long day when you got that many people to give the opportunity to and that many stories to kind of finish off or that many stories to tell, because I feel like that's kind of the one thing with AEW that might be the reason why some people kind of lose the connection with it on a weekly basis is there's just so many epic... They've got three TV programs, they've got a lot of top-end professional wrestlers and a lot of really good wrestlers that are coming through. So trying to find a space in time or a space on screen for all of those stories is obviously an incredibly tough juggling act to do. But
well, I'm a bit like that because, I'm a WWE big sympathiser and that's my main sort of bulk for the week as a fan.
Yeah.
But then I just found myself really gravitating to that pay-per-view because the card was absolutely fantastic from top to bottom.
Yeah, it was. It was very, very good.
And also just like the way that, that I was convinced that Daniel Bryan wasn't going to win, and if he were, I was texting you different theories and thoughts. Yeah. I thought Shane O'Mac was going to come out.
There was rumours.
So, and I just thought, watching it from a TV perspective, the production step up just felt like 10 times up from last year, and it just felt a lot more like a premium wrestling event.
I feel like it always will, and it even such things as this podcast, right? It was only a couple of weeks ago that I was talking to Speedball about kind of, content and just getting things out there. And it is a case of actually just going and doing it.
Yeah.
And just start. As much as, we're perfectionists and we've all got OCD or whatever, and we're like, oh, yeah, but this needs to be there and that needs to be there. I need to have that wrestling hoodie and a polo, and like, we all need to have all our branded stuff before we start. Or just start making cool content that makes people laugh and makes people engage and talk about
wrestling. Saying that, though, I have got the That's Wrestling pencil case, which we just created this morning. That's on sale.
Yeah.
It's $89.99.
With a razor as well.
Yeah. It's all in there.
Take this for argument's sake. Now we have, I remembered to bring my professional wrestling titles that I currently hold.
Isn't
that
a great thing to be able to say as a wrestler? Like me coming in this morning, it was like boxers. Put my week away. I don't just need two pairs of boxes for the day, so I'm shitting myself. But you have to go, championship belt, my own merch.
Merchandise.
T-shirts.
The finest quality merchandise with
that's
the
great,
new Trent 7 X Blacksmith logo as well.
Available to purchase now?
Available to purchase from me at live events.
Lovely stuff. Get yourself there. Well, speaking of live events.
Wrestling. And then obviously we've also got this.
Yeah.
A lovely new T-shirt.
Niall wearing that. Niall's very cool,
it's
our
lovely
producer.
I've got Niall one.
Don't give me one because I'll ruin the brand.
So it's all yours.
AEW, sorry.
Yeah, so... Going back to what I was saying was, everything has to start somewhere, right? And obviously it just builds and it gets better. So you look at All In last year, they sold 80,000 tickets. It's a lot of people. To get into Wembley Stadium, which means you can't have that kind of production or entranceway.
Yeah.
But you can't curtain off, a corner of the arena to provide, a huge backstage area for, in stadium pyro and all that kind of stuff. It just, the sizing and the ergonomics for it doesn't exist. Obviously, this time it was scaled back a little bit more with regards to how many people are in the venue, which then allows you to create this slightly bigger and more kind of mania-esque production.
Also, just it felt like last year as well that like the 80,000 tickets, because it was at the beginning of the Triple H era, and when those sort of tickets had been on sale, it was sort of WWE was what it was back then.
Yeah.
And I felt back then it felt more of like a... like a protest almost. Of
yeah,
like,
that's
but this
show.
Year it felt like more, you know, we're established company and people are here to see what we've got to put on.
Absolutely.
Offer.
And no matter whether the difference in numbers of people who attended and bought a ticket is anything to do with AEW as a company, it still allowed us as the fans and people at home to visually appreciate arguably a better quality production show.
Yeah. 100%.
So, you know, everything happens for a reason.
So how, obviously it's a bit different for you. Who easy for me to say. Who impressed you on the night?
Okay, so for me, genuinely the most important part of what I saw with my own two eyes was Nigel McGuinness returning.
Oh, and just because I've seen the documentary, obviously I'm au fait with wrestling to a certain degree, but yeah. Nigel McGuinness, to I imagine people, what's your relationship with him and how important is he to the British wrestling scene?
Yeah, he holds an incredible level of importance to me personally and to British wrestling. Arguably at the point of, you know, kind of Desmond Wolfe and that TNA run, he was arguably the most popular and famous and, you know, successful English wrestler of all time. Kind of pushing that, you know, the British Bulldog, the barrier that was obviously been set. But for me personally, yeah, so I was very, very incredibly lucky to have been able to wrestle him on his retirement tour.
Really?
In 2011. So I think when he came out actually yesterday, there was a lot of emotions. And
did you know it was happening?
I think Ricky Knight Jr. might have a very lovely candid video that he turned around and filmed me. I was getting a little bit emotional when Nigel came out. So if he's got that, you can pop that on there. Yeah, just watching me just cry into my hands.
Hey. That's wrestling.
It is wrestling. Emotion. So anyway, where were we? So when he came out, I was like, phew, I wonder if I was his last ever match before this. And I think he had maybe one or two.
Brilliant.
Yeah, on the retirement tour, just
13 years
just after
later.
Me. So yeah, so me and him threw hands in the and chops and lariats. Me, him, and Eddie Edwards, I believe it was,
wow.
in the Planet nightclub in Wolverhampton.
Love that.
So yeah, massive turning point in my career as well, being able to obviously wrestle two wrestlers of that caliber, and it was an incredibly, you know, another stupidly fast and vertical burst on my my arc to becoming a genuine professional wrestler as well. So to see him come out there and he had a little bit with Kyle O'Reilly, who has an incredible part to play in my career as well, who obviously does the, you know, like there's a lot of Nigel's tricks and like Nigel's stuff that Kyle does. So to see them do something together, that Zack Sabre Jr. and him managed to get that kind of moment, and to have that moment in Wembley Stadium, oh, that is just—it's actually sending chills now. Look at that,
hey, the rock moment.
Trying to catch the red eye now, but just so wonderful to see.
What else sort of on that card as well sort of really blew you away?
I thought the main event was incredible.
Oh.
I really do. I thought it was really, really good. I think the shift that Shane Strickland has made over the last 2-3 years, I think, has been pretty incredible. Arguably, maybe in the whole of wrestling, maybe the shift that he's made over the last 2 years is probably stands out as the person that has reinvented or kind of put the cherry on top or re-evolved or whatever kind of word you want to see. But, you know, for Shane Strickland to stand there and command that audience and that stage at Wembley Stadium like he did, I think is a testament to him as a bloke and as a wrestler. So, yeah, fair play to him. And I don't know where you go from here as a wrestler. You know, like Daniel Bryan beat you to save his career in Wembley Stadium in front of 50,000-60,000 people.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? I thought they got spot on, wasn't it? Like with the no sell, with the running knee, and
it was
just
outrageous.
He just looked like an absolute fucking boss, just like staring back at him. Obviously, Hangman Page getting involved sort of creates that angle, doesn't it? Further down the line,
there was the neck thing from the insider. It was just great storytelling. It's really, really good wrestling match. I'm just very, very happy for Shane Strickland to be able to command that kind of performance, because it That's career defining stuff, you know.
And also, like, I think a lot of people think of it the one way from AEW to WWE with like Jade Cargill and obviously everything that's happened to Cody Rhodes. But like, you have to give credit where credit's due. Like, he was the main event going into that, and I thought he was going to win. And just the sort of the way he's repackaged himself or showing his true colours, like, he is an AEW star now, isn't he? Like,
he is,
on one of the biggest contracts that they've ever had going. So I just think a lot of people like to shit on different aspects of wrestling, don't they? But he's a star on his own, and like someone who I know about, but after watching that performance, I want to see more of as well.
Yeah, 100%. If this wasn't the one that kind of put him in front of everyone, you know, all the wrestling's kind of, you know, central vision, then, you know, I feel like this is it now. You know, he main evented Wembley.
Yeah.
Passed the torch to Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Shit, hey, Dan, you have this one.
But yeah, I mean, come on.
And then just
Daniel Bryan is arguably...
Yeah, I was just going to say, on him, is he the greatest professional wrestler of all time?
He has to be mentioned.
Do you got... You know now, because obviously you're a fan of wrestling, but you are a wrestler. How do you view these things as like a wrestler's wrestler or
so
a fan?
For Daniel Bryan's... For the purpose of Daniel Bryan... Bryan Danielson. So the purpose of the podcast, I think, is for me to kind of... touch on all the other bases. Here's Ben's version of how he liked wrestling before Trent Seven, and here's Trent Seven's version of wrestling as he sees it now. He's probably the most important wrestler to anyone who's a wrestler.
Got you.
That's how I see it. He's the most important wrestler that has ever wrestled, if you are a wrestler.
Yeah.
Because no one else has got to the heights that he's got to on the path that he took. You know, he just learned how to wrestle, became the best, but no one knew who he was because he's wrestling in front of Butlins. You know, he's doing like the Brian Dixon tours, which is where he got the name American Dragon, right. I believe, as well. Right. So he wrestled on tons and tons of those shows in front of, you know, big crowds, obviously, massive crowds, but not wrestling crowds, so to speak, you know, not how we perceive
it. Yeah, like
now.
Weekend family shows.
That's where you learn how to actually become a real. Like entertainer, a professional wrestler in front of those crowds because you've got to entertain.
Is that because they're coming in with zero knowledge?
Yeah, they're just coming in going, entertain me. We are in Butlins and my kids are going crazy. And
there's a bloody show on down the road. We could be going to
Ritalin's that. Ritalin's dripping out their eyeballs. Entertain these children immediately because we are stuck on this resort forever and it's raining. So, you know, you learn how to, you know, entertain people very quickly.
Yeah.
And then you go to, obviously, pass it on to the indies, you know, from the PWGs, the Ring of Honors, you know, all of these other companies that he's wrestled for and just become the, proved that he's the greatest wrestler in the world, won the major championships, carried those championships all around the world to Japan with the GHC Junior Heavy Championship and obviously recently appearing on, like, the Wrestle Kingdom shows and stuff like that and getting that kind of payoff for him personally.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like his story, and then obviously, you know, he fast forward to WrestleMania 30, where he stood with both titles after beating Triple H, Batista, and Randy Orton in the same night. And he's got both belts, and he's 5'7". And it's like, oh man, we could do this.
Anything is possible.
And that's it. You know, that's that experience that you need to be able to see as a wrestler to be like, oh God, I'm not Randy Orton.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not Triple H. I'm not Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm not The Rock. You know, these are larger than life characters. And then every so often, someone creeps in there like a Kevin Owens or a Sami Zayn or a Daniel Bryan or a Pete Dunne. Or, you know, and all these characters come alive and they are, oh, wow.
Yeah.
There's a chance.
Yeah.
You know, if I become the best wrestler in the world, if I put the amount of time that I need to put in training, if I learn all of the skills that I'm not as good at, as wrestling or you know, if I'm an incredible promo guy, maybe I need to get into better shape or maybe I need to do this. And that for me is that's the fuel for, you know, the independent wrestler or the up and coming wrestler is to perfect the craft like he's done it is, I think he's the greatest story to professional wrestling.
So you say that was through the eyes of like both of those, but in terms of Trent Seven as the wrestler, obviously I imagine in terms of professional wrestling, he's on your Mount Rushmore.
He's very, very close.
Yeah.
As people I'd want to wrestle.
I'd say in terms of like professional wrestling, in terms of like what AEW is trying to sort of spotlight, who would be on the other three on there? Not necessarily, I'm not saying who are your four favourite wrestlers, but in terms of importance, who would
you... professional wrestling.
Yeah, and two professional wrestling. So like,
so we're kind of ignoring like the legend side.
Yeah,
things.
we're not saying Rick Hulk Flair. Hogan, because, okay. I mean, I'm not going to criticise a wrestling move, but...
I mean, let's go.
Let's go. I'll just throw you into the deep end, unprepared, and you tell me, yeah, really right. controversially.
And we can neatly edit this into a reasonable amount of time that it takes me to answer the thing. So Daniel Bryan, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn.
Yeah, and again, for that sort of reason of just showing what's possible. Yeah,
you can rewind to any point in their career and there's a struggle and a level of competition and a level of want to get to this stage.
Yeah.
Arguably, I don't think at any stage you could, you know, Kevin Owens or these people wake up in the morning and it's 2005 and they're wrestling in front of 70 people later on that night and they go, God, I can't wait to wrestle main event WrestleMania and get 5 stars against the Usos.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't think that's obviously enters the chat, but what does enter it is, oh man, right, how am I going to just be the coolest wrestler on the show tonight?
And just be myself as well.
Yeah, like just keep extending that kind of, you know, that character extension or whatever it is. Yeah, so, yeah, they've got to be up there, haven't they?
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the three.
Yeah,
Seth Rollins should have a lot more, a bit more credit than I think he deserves kind of from that pot of wrestler, you know, that kind of golden pot of, you know, 2005 to 2012, you know, the Super Indies, the Ring of Honor, the PWG kind of, that crew of wrestlers were, you know, the low keys, the Kentas.
Yeah.
Maybe Kenta should get a lot more credit than he deserves.
Do you think, just touching on Seth Rollins, do you think he almost is a bit sort of uncredited, like unrewarded with such what am I trying to say? Just basically doesn't get the credit he deserves because of he's been
from the previous section of his career, yeah. But I think he went into WWE and just became he's definitely the one that came from the Indies and became the biggest superstar.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He became bigger than independent wrestling and arguably became that character that was bigger than WWE.
Yeah.
You know, the Seth Rollins characters that he portrayed, you know, there was the fire burning one like the kind of badass one. But this one that I think he's at now where he's like the clothes, everything's just bigger and, you know, better than ever. And like, he's bigger than, you know, you project yourself like that. Eventually people are going to start believing it and all credit where credit's due. He's becoming an absolute superstar.
Yeah. Love that.
So,
We've talked a lot about other people's wrestling, but what I really get in.
Kenny Omega.
Yeah. Not a bad one.
That's another one.
Well, maybe we can just throw ones each out because I'll put you in at the deep end maybe in a couple of weeks' time.
If my brain reacts to them...
I won't do that again to you.
Yeah, okay, it's all right. I like it.
No, it's fine.
But special mention to Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably another podcast in itself.
Yeah, that's a podcast in itself. We'll save that.
What I was going to say is, in terms of... I just want to come in and have a chat with you.
Oh, see now all the... That's like I'm actually remembering things. I love chasing the red light. You chase me.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can.
CM Punk's another one. Well, Samoa Joe.
I'll give you a redo.
Oh my God, there's just too many. There's just too many.
We'll
legends.
Get nominations in. And
actually,
you
there's not too many legends. There's just a lot of people. There's just a very, very good bunch of incredible wrestlers who have got to the kind of pinnacle of the industry.
Got it. And you can change it, so don't worry too much.
I'm not going to change it.
You can do. What have you been doing? Less about everybody bloody else. What have you been doing?
Right.
AEW were there.
Hold your horses.
Yeah. Where have you been? 2 weeks since I last saw you.
Shall I just look at that one all the time and you'll check? God, he's good, isn't he?
You've been here before, isn't
he? I have, yeah. I think I was a little bit more worse for wear last time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You feel a bit more...
Yeah. So let's start from there. So Scrapper Mania weekend, that was it. OTT.
What happened there?
European tour. Wolverhampton sold out.
Sorry, first important question. Have you scared any more kids in hotel rooms that went your own?
Okay, no, fine. They're all fine.
Fine.
Yeah, so Scrapper Mania Wolverhampton at the Hangar, sold out.
Yeah.
Me versus Trevor Lee, Nick Nemeth versus Darice, Dan Maloney versus Connor Mills. They're kind of like the highlights of that show.
Yeah.
Incredible show. Tore the roof off the place, as it always in Wolverhampton.
Goes without saying.
The Mecca, the starting point, the real birthplace of the resurgence of British wrestling.
Sorry, just really, this is a real crossing of the divide. What did you make to the Chelsea player, Madueke, saying that Wolverhampton is a shit
star? I tried to find the thing. A clip came up yesterday of him like kind of half apologising laughing about it. And I'm like...
After scoring a hat-trick.
Yeah, he probably said something very funny, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, I mean... It's a shithole, but it's our shithole.
Exactly.
Right? It's my shithole.
Right? And I'll see you in the ring next Saturday.
Yeah, you bitch. Nah. Right, so that was Scrapper Mania weekend. That was incredible. Then we went to we went to Dublin to the National Stadium. So that sold out, 2,500. Then we went to Belfast.
There were title changes.
I wrestled B Cool, Barry B Cool, and then he overturned the nasty version of Trent Seven.
Wow.
And he had his moment.
Wow.
You know, you can't stop it.
Don't like that.
2,500 people, the Irish, like, super fans are going crazy.
Really?
You know, he had an extra man in his corner. That's what I'll say. But I look back at it now and with absolute fondness, you know, it's probably one of the best moments and one of the best performances I've ever put in.
Oh,
so, source it.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be
Then we went out to Belfast.
Yeah.
And Big Damer, he left the weekend as the new OTT world champion.
Brilliant.
Which was wonderful.
Had he stopped wrestling for a little bit?
I don't know. I think he had a little bit of time away, but he lives in America. So obviously, you know, we're not going to be able to get him as often as we would want. But, you know, he still keeps himself busy over there as well.
He's a champ.
He is. And then what did we do? Right, let's just get this.
I think that just as you find it up, it shows how busy you are that you have to go back.
I have to do that because then I can remember the little kind of points. Then I flew to Canada.
Wow.
And I went to Ottawa, wrestled for C4. Check them out. Wonderful team.
Yeah.
And I wrestled at C4 against the Lumberjack Man in a tables match.
Wow.
It was really good. Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
Thank you. What's it like going through a table?
The earth underneath it hits you slightly slower than it would if it wasn't there.
Got you.
But there is obviously a thickness of wood to break on the way there.
Got you.
So, yeah. It's a little bit petrifying, to be honest.
Is it?
Well, yeah.
Still to this day?
Well, I mean, wrestling itself is a little bit silly, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
You know, throwing yourself around on the ground.
Yeah.
And then just to add a table.
Yeah.
So it's quite
and you've
got
to go
not
through it at the right point.
Yeah. Otherwise, then you've got table legs and stuff like that kind of popping into you, and then it gets all a little bit worrying.
Sorry, I interrupted
but
you.
That was, no, but it was a great question.
Thank you. C4.
Then C4. Then I went over to Destiny.
Yeah.
Defending my Destiny World Wrestling Championship in a steel cage.
Not against that bastard
against
Steve.
Steve Macklin. Yeah.
Yeah. You slayed the beast.
I did. Only just. 6,000 thumbtacks.
I can't stand Macklin. I'm so glad you beat him, man.
Thanks, man.
Good.
Appreciate you.
What a bastard.
6,000 thumbtacks.
How do you source that many thumbtacks?
Home Depot.
Got a guy.
Yeah. Big shout out to Home Depot for thumbtacks.
Imagine that when you just hit the till. I need six. Yeah, what are you building?
No. A little packet of 50 as well. Yeah. Can I have 6,000? Then what did I do? And then I went over to Ontario CNE, which is like a big exhibition kind of super mega version of a fairground that they have by the soccer stadium at the bottom of the CN Tower, and everything is very lovely.
Wow.
Yeah, and they had some wrestling on there. So I jumped in the ring with some young up-and-comers there.
Nice.
Yeah, like called Liam from Liverpool, but called Rex, and tagged a couple of times with what could be the newest member of Mustache Mountain, Bryce Hansen.
Wow.
Yeah. Young stud.
Really?
From Ontario. Yeah. He's one to watch out.
Yeah.
Bryce Hansen. Yeah.
What, so you're thinking of?
Well, I don't know, man. He's good. We'll see how he gets on over the next couple of months.
There might be some merchandise coming his way.
I did 5 days of wrestling in a row.
Really?
Ottawa, Destiny in Oshawa, then Toronto, 3 days on the bounce.
And how are you getting to all them places? Just rent a car?
No. Lyft.
Lifts.
Ubers. I'd love to know how much money I've spent on Uber in my life.
You got a good rating?
Then maybe, 4.9.
Bloody hell, that is good.
Nearly as much as
because
Dave
also
Meltzer gave me my tag match with Tyler Bate.
You're going,
that in there, didn't I?
You're going into those Ubers, could be miserable as hell.
Yeah, sad, to be honest. Then what did I do? Then I came back, and that was it. And then this is the weekend that we've just had. No caps. At the garage in Islington.
I should have been there.
Yeah, it's okay. It's very close to your house, I believe.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't worry about it.
Just for you. I was in Manchester.
Yeah, it's okay.
No, I'm sorry, I let you down.
Family.
I want me and Niall to go together and record it just for the.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great, yeah.
So what have you got coming up?
So what I've got coming up is No Mercy Wrestling in South Wales.
When's
this
that?
Weekend.
This weekend, right.
Yeah. I have a free schedule Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
Who knows where Trent Seven will turn up?
But also, like,
bed would be great.
Yeah, that would be lovely.
Yeah, if I just stayed in bed for 3 days. Yeah, Dexter, bed.
When it comes to the state of wrestling, like, I mean, everything that you've done, what, 4 or 5 different promotions in Canada?
Yeah.
There were so many different promotions on in England over the weekend. sort of partnering with the AEW shows.
Yeah.
I saw a few different tweets of like, and you spoke on it, I think the first time we mentioned it, was around just the healthiness of the independent scene, especially over here. And do you feel like that's sort of fully recovered from what happened with NXT UK?
I think we're starting to rip off the plasters, and you see something that's actually starting to reform now.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. There's definitely much more of a level of coming togetherness. Yeah. You know, I feel like people and companies are starting to work together, and that's globally as well. You know, I see it in Toronto and Ontario. One of the biggest problems is obviously, you know, it's that kind of saying of there's so many people in independent wrestling that are kind of scratching and clawing for the crumbs. But realistically, we just need to come together and make a nice new cake.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because
nice the fan, sponge.
Yeah, like, you know, the fans want a nice cake.
Yeah.
And they want something new and shiny and delicious to kind of dig their teeth into. And that's what really needs to happen. So don't worry about these crumbs, you know. If you're not, you know, that's where the problems arise from. It's yes. People getting jealous of this and ego getting in the way of this and trying to make a couple of quid here, when realistically, you know, no one's ever going to get very rich off independent professional wrestling. But what we can do is we can use it as the stepping point and the ladder for the stories of Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe, all these kind of people. That's what we're here to do, is we're here to create that kind of grey area of gelling in and around the industry.
Yeah.
You know, we allow the fans to come a little bit closer.
Yeah, yeah.
We allow the fans to maybe have no guardrails at the shows.
Yeah.
We allow the fans to, like, you know, that someone's falling into them and you can push and pull, like, physically, you know, with the wrestling. And same with the kind of merchandising and stuff like that. You know, you haven't got to go to a faceless kind of wall of merchandise.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Obviously, at certain companies, you have to have that level.
Yeah, yeah.
But you can come and shake my hand, you can tell me that I'm shit, and you can tell me that I'm good, and you can tell me that you appreciate something, or you can tell me that you thought that match was shit. That's fine, it's your opinion. Like, just come and have a chat, and if you want to buy some towels, or you want to buy a cool t-shirt, or you want to buy a signature or a picture, or have a picture with me, then sound.
Yeah.
You know, that's the point of what independent wrestling is for me, is it's that coming together and that kind of that gelling of everyone and just having a great time and just enjoying professional wrestling, and then creating kind of like a nice little platform where people can go and, you know, create as much content as they want to put out into the world.
Yes.
To hope that someone else sees it and hope that they give you real money to actually do this as a job.
Exactly. And it feels like WWE's aware of that under its current ownership, just because of it almost felt before it was like hoarding, a bit like a Man City or a Chelsea, where they've got all the best youth players and then they have to go out on loan occasionally. But like, it's almost like stunting a bit of growth, whereas this new ownership just feels... Yeah, we're aware of that.
Yeah, very
mistakes
much
have
so.
Been made.
One of the biggest problems is when people go out on loan is obviously the financing side of it.
Yeah.
You know, like who pays the wrestler pays who, and obviously with professional wrestling, if you're contracted to a major company, that company is going to be paying you X amount of money per week. For you to then go out there and do independence, that was the kind of golden ticket that we provided, I think, when we started at WWE UK, was me, Pete and Tyler were signed to WWE, but we could still do all of the independents.
And sort of,
the crossover was...
You're feeding them as
well.
Look
at these people on this WWE show or this WWE live event tour. They were quite good. What, we can see them down the road wrestling in front of 300-400 people? For this price? Oh, we'll go and watch that as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it was the independent wrestling fans, the diehard independent wrestling fans who didn't like WWE were like... Okay, yeah, well, we've got to get the network, or we've got to watch WWE now because our boys are on it, and we'd like to see them succeed. And we were making a lot of money off merchandising and stuff like that. So, like, the fees that we were charging to the independent promotions were arguably very nominal.
Yeah,
you know, because the point is not to drag that, you know, to deflate or to decrease that pot.
Yeah, because you can make it up in other areas.
Yeah, and like, yeah, this is, you know, whatever people decide to do, they decide to do. But you know, if I had a $1 million contract with WWE or you know, AEW or whatever, I don't think I'd be charging anything or a lot to be on the indies if you are allowed to go there, because arguably that's where you came from, and you kind of just pay it back a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are kind of doing it, and this is not kind of pointing anyone out
or saying
anyone should do whatever they do. You know, you should run your business and run yourself as economically as you possibly can.
Yeah,
but you know, with all these crossovers, with AJ going to Noah, with, you know, the TNA and the NXT thing, I just want to make sure that it would be just nice to see that the fans, you know, could still get the same appreciation for wrestling for the same ticket price.
Yes.
You know, and it looks like that's happening, so...
Love that.
It's a nice little melting pot for it to be a wrestling really, fan at the moment. It feels really positive. It feels like people are getting there.
And just with the vastness amount of your schedule as well, like, yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Moving things on to a slightly different direction. We're still talking about AEW in the sense, but I don't know if you saw this week, Rikishi's got a podcast, I think. Every wrestler's got a podcast, haven't they?
God, they all have, haven't they?
Who would do that? Ex-wrestlers, you're still wrestling. Thanks. Not many people do that. That's our niche. Suck on it. But he's come out talking about his son, Jey Uso, and sort of maybe like the mishandling of him in WWE, and basically alluding to, you know, there's other pastures new out there, i.e. AEW, right. Hard to say. But I just thought...
A lot of vowels then.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Felt like Carol Vorderman. It was very much like your dad on the sideline at a seven-a-side, like when he's like, that's offside.
My son should be on. Should sit at the penalties.
Dad, just shut up. You're really ruining it for me here. And not that he's doing that. Jey Uso won last night in the Intercontinental Championship that he's probably not going to win this time around because Bron Breakker's just won it, but more on that later. But like, what you've obviously seen this in different capacities because there's a lot of Nepo babies in different capacities in WWE and other fields. Like, what do you think when you see that?
I wish my dad was Rikishi. Yeah. And that's no offence to you, Maurice.
Yeah.
But I think if my dad was Rikishi, I think my financial payment from professional wrestling would be slightly higher.
Yeah.
But that's not to say that Jey and Jimmy aren't obviously, they're world class, you know. It doesn't matter, you know, how you got there. It matters what you do when you're there.
Yeah.
I don't know, man, like... He's his actual dad, so he's just kind of looking out for his son, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But his son's a massive, mega, superstar, multimillionaire.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more you need to look out for him.
Yeah, he's doing all right, isn't
he? Yeah. I think he's pretty done. He's okay.
I think there's just that general feeling.
I think he could lend his dad a tenner.
Yeah, yeah.
And if he needs it.
Maybe 20.
Yeah, there you go, mate.
Yeah.
You get yourself a pint.
And that's just off the merchandise.
More around.
Off the Yeet merchandise.
Yeah, off the Yeet merchandise alone.
But in terms of, it just feels, and there must be ones from your time as well, like where you just feel, but also in this era as well, it just feels like you don't need that championship sometimes for that validation. Yeah. Whereas before it's like, oh yeah, but look, hang on, but look at the merch sales he's doing. So the validation is there, isn't it?
Here's a good example to use for that is Nick Nemeth, Dolph Ziggler. He won two titles for a combination of about 3 hours or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And that guy's a multi-millionaire.
Yeah.
He's a super famous wrestler. He's a wonderful man. And he's come back to TNA on a fraction of whatever he was earning. Well, I can't even imagine what that fraction is when you compare it to the old contracts because he wants to just wrestle.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to have 20, 30, 40-minute match or Iron Man matches with Josh Alexander and all of these people. And, you know, that for me shows the kind of... like the want to be a genuine professional wrestler.
Did you know much of him before he came to...
Yeah, we did. Yeah, he was, to be honest, like he was wonderful to us. When we started with WWE UK, we would do the main roster tours. We did about four or five main roster tours, like on Raw and SmackDown, which were obviously quite frightening moments in your career to just be thrust onto the back of the coach with Randy Orton and Dolph Ziggler and Kevin Owens and all this. It was great times, you know. You just got to get thrown in at the deep end. And always we would get to the hotels and there would be a lovely spread on. And like everyone would have a couple of drinks and it was just great. And he was just wonderful. He was just one of those people that just looked after us and made sure that we didn't feel uncomfortable. And he would talk to us at like, you know, just sat around the table and, you know, because, you know, you sat there really going, oh my God. Yeah. Like this table is like Orton, you know, Cena, whatever. Like, all these super mega famous people and you're just there.
What was it like at that time? What was the sort of, so so much talks about the dressing room at the moment and the evolution of it. I feel like you were sort of maybe in that in-between phase where it wasn't like, don't speak to me, you bastard. Or, but it's not like, give us a hug. You were sort of in that middle phase. Is that about right?
That's what it felt like. Yeah. It felt like, you know, you knew who the big dons were.
Yeah.
And you kind of just, you know, you were a little bit more reserved around them. And then you also know the people that you'd rolled around on floors with on independent wrestling shows that had already got there before, you know, like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and all these kind of people. Drew McIntyre, you know, like all those people who'd done that kind of run on the independent scene. Drew McIntyre, that conversation that we said before.
Yeah.
Even though he's 7 foot tall, And he's a giant.
What, in terms of your Rushmore?
Yeah, like he, from where he came from in Scotland.
We need some more stone to chisel these in.
Yeah, right. It's a big round Rushmore now. Yeah. Rewind, what was I saying?
Just about the, yeah, sort of, the Dons.
Yeah. And there was, you know, the Dons were always there.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, you just kind of pick your conversations and you can kind of see who's a little bit more reserved. He doesn't want to just be, you know,
be great if you just got it really wrong. Like, Randy, I want you.
How does he know? It nearly happened.
Really?
Oh, yeah, it really nearly happened. So the first tour that we had, they picked us up in Nottingham or something like that. And obviously I was there, like, there's a couple of people, like, you know, AJ Styles. God. Oh my God! Obviously, AJ Styles.
I'm gonna listen back and make
it
all.
He's the greatest of all time.
Yeah,
I don't even think Daniel Bryan's done it at the same levels because he won the IWGP.
Yeah,
and he's TNA. Yeah.
Anyway, you've just teased me with having a fight with Randy Orton.
Somebody. Anyway,
you've got picked up in Nottingham.
Yeah, so you know, there's obviously a lot of people who know who we are, who know who I am, and then we're just having a nice time, and it's time to get on the coach with all the famous wrestlers for the first time ever to go to whatever is the next town to do this Raw tour. And I'm like, right, where should I sit on this bus?
I'm actually so anxious right now.
Yeah, it's frightening. And I thought, you know what? I'm a nice guy. I'm a confident guy. I'm not going to sit at the back.
I'll drive it.
But I'm going to sit three rows before the back, so that I was not, in my head, I'm doing like Don mathematics. Yeah. How many Dons need their seats at the back? And I was like, about three or four seats from the back. And I sat there and we're just having a lovely conversation. And obviously, last person to get on the bus is King of Dons, the Don, Randy Orton. So Randy Orton, this human terminator of a man, just this Adonis beast of human, just the biggest man you've ever met, you know. He walks, and his presence is very cool. He gets on the bus, and he walks past me like about two steps, and then takes one step back.
Oh, no.
He turns around, he looks at me and goes, "Who the fuck are you?" And I was like, "Trent Seven, WWE UK." And he's like, "All right, fair play." And he just sat down on the back of the bus.
Really?
And, yeah. And
oh,
then,
that's good.
And then luckily the sweat was pouring down my neck. And yeah, that was it. You know, so
oh,
maybe
God.
Having that little bit of, you know,
yeah,
a little bit of gusto in me to sit three or four rows in the back kind of paid off.
I felt like I was in that bus then.
Yeah. It was great. And like everyone kind of, you know, it wasn't as scary as you think it
was. Yeah, yeah. He was doing, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. He's like, "You are not here. Are you a fan? Get off."
God.
But no, so he looked at me and he's like, "Who the fuck are you?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm Trent Seven, mate, WWE UK."
"Who the fuck are you?"
And he's like, still same question. Yeah, that was it. And then he was like, "All right, fair enough, mate." And then we had you have a couple of beers, just
good bloke.
Lovely. Yeah, he's the best.
Seems very good. But let's move it on.
He's the ultimate gatekeeper.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
In a good way.
Well, look how long he's been there.
Yeah.
You know, look at how. You know, how, not reinvented himself, because he always has been Randy Orton, but just like his ability to just be at the top of the card, as the top performer for so long, you know, he'll go down in history as one of the greatest of all time.
Well, you say top of the card, let's move on to the card. It's Bash in Berlin.
And he's still at the top of the card.
And he's still at the top of the card. Let's do some match predictions, because I think it'd be quite interesting, me giving the sort of fan aspect and me going and you going from the wrestler aspect.
Cool.
So let's start with it. For the World Heavyweight Championship, Gunther versus Randy Orton, who are you going for and why? Quickfire.
This will be Gunther.
I'm going to go for Gunther just because it feels like long reigns are sort of becoming a little bit.
And it's in Germany, home crowd.
And if Randy Orton, if there was,
arguably we're going to go into this with Randy Orton potentially getting booed and Gunther potentially getting cheered.
Yeah.
That kind of Canadian stampede crossover of fans.
Love that.
You know, so, you know. Very partisan crowd, I think it's going to be.
Love that. Next one, Kevin Owens is fighting his best mate, Cody Rhodes, for the WWE Championship.
I'm not sure if that's a correct statement.
No?
I believe that's how they're putting it. I believe they're definitely friends, but I don't think he's his best mate.
Best mate ever.
Yeah.
That's, you think they've alluded to it?
Sami Zayn is his best mate ever.
Who do you think is going to win?
Who do I think is going to win?
And why?
I believe Cody Rhodes is going to win and retain the championship.
Yeah.
The reason why is because he's Cody Rhodes. And I think getting a win over Kevin Owens will give him a little bit more of a stamp and credit as champion.
Yeah, I agree. I think they'll do back-to-back, maybe go Bad Blood and Cody,
maybe
Kevin Owens turns. Yeah.
Maybe a cage at Bad Blood.
But I don't know if they're saving that for CM Punk and Drew McIntyre, who are fighting in a strap match.
Strap matches.
Have you ever had a strap match?
No, they're very kinky, aren't they?
Oh, they are. Very nice. Getting whipped all around the ring.
Getting cool whipped all over the place.
Drew's won the first match.
Yep.
CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, who wins and why?
So Drew won the first one.
Yeah.
Retained the bracelet.
Yes.
And the bragging rights.
The biggest in WWE right now.
It is. Now we're going into this one, which is the strap match in Berlin.
Yeah.
It's very aggressive, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a very aggressive match. But the feud obviously kind of dictates that kind of...
Yeah.
That level of violence. Probably going to be a Hell in a Cell payoff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's go with CM Punk in the strap match.
Yeah, I think CM Punk will win, but like I am so partisan when it comes to... Is partisan the right word? When it comes to Drew McIntyre, like with Pete, with Drew, with like Sheamus.
Defensive.
Oh, I don't care what they're doing. If they're British, Irish, I'll be backing them. I'm going to go for Drew McIntyre, 2-0, clean sweep.
Well, for the love of wrestling, for that's wrestling.
Yes.
I believe that we're going to have CM Punk win this one, and I think we're going to go to Bad Blood, and I think we're going to have the Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell.
Because Bad Blood won in 1997, I believe.
Yeah, it's got to be Hell in a Cell.
Kane versus Shawn Michaels. Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels,
the debut of Kane.
Getting
excited now. You've just teased me.
Yeah, you know,
a lot of teasing today.
Yeah, so there's some great long-term storytelling here. It's the storytelling era that we're in. So
last two matches on the card as of right now. Card subject to change.
It is
the Unholy Union of Alba Fire and Isla Dawn. They're the champions. They're going up against Bianca and Jade, who they beat kind of for the titles, but didn't pin them at Clash at the Castle.
Clash at the Castle, right?
Who are you going for?
I feel like we're going to get a switch there.
Yeah,
I feel like the power duo. Are going to get one over the Unholy Union.
Yeah.
The Witches Cauldron.
And that's what they want to be called. You're not being nasty when you say that. That's what they want to be called, isn't it?
That's very good.
That's their nickname.
Yeah. I think you need...
Sounds quite funny, doesn't it?
That's the point of wrestling, isn't
it?
You need characters.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you
really
need
like
these
him.
Angles. Exactly. And it's something different. That's the whole point, isn't it? You know?
Like, it's just class, isn't it?
Everyone can't just be the most jacked, super, mega wrestler in the world.
No.
I mean, they're in great shape. But I mean, just in the general... Yeah, yeah. Kind of ethos of wrestling, you know, you can't have this cookie cutter.
No.
You know, you need witches and you need blokes running around with straps and...
That's a funny sentence.
Exactly, do you know what I mean?
I think they will retain, and I think...
It's because of, obviously, the British
backup. Sorry, I didn't even thought of that. Yes, because of that, but I think Jade will turn on Bianca.
Oh,
I think we need... She's come on the main
roster.
You think
that would happen outside of the United States of America?
I think a lot of this happened outside of the... Yeah, I've been pleasantly surprised with all the stuff that's been going on, and I think that she just needs something. It's been a great presentation of her so far, but who is she? What is she...
To see British people have titles in WWE is obviously the best.
Yeah.
If they keep it,
even
fantastic.
Yeah.
Do I think they will?
Do you know what I want?
I think like this is the
this
switch
is the
back,
one. Yeah.
And then it's the one
lead up to that.
Yeah, and then I think we're going to have a bit of a blow off.
Do you know what I think we could be on the way for? What we've not had a sort of women's tag team wrestling TLC esque match, because that feels like one of we've had ladder matches and Money in the Bank matches, but that's sort of like Dudley's, Hardy's, Edge and Christian.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I like that. Could I be a booker?
Maybe.
I'm on the...
Do you want to be? No.
No. the final match on the card, the Terror Twins of Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley taking on Dirty...
That's what they've gone with?
That's what they're pushing. The Dirty Dom and Liv Morgan.
The Terror Twins?
Yeah.
What have they gone with?
Not a fan.
It's all right.
I don't think they need it.
I feel they're more badass than the name.
Yeah. The Badass Twins.
No, just
call them what they are.
Yeah.
Who do you think is winning
way,
that one?
Terror Twins is definitely marketable, isn't it?
Though? Yeah.
Right. Who are they fighting against?
Dom, that bastard Dom Mysterio, and Liv Morgan, his new girlfriend.
Oh, a little bit of intergender?
Yeah.
Or is it tag out and you can't wrestle the girls?
I don't know, actually. I think that's what they're going
Let's
to.
Let's keep our fingers crossed for actual intergender professional
Dom
wrestling.
Through the table by Rhea. Yeah. Nice little power
bomb. The sooner that we allow intergender professional wrestling to be done, the better I think wrestling will be. Yeah.
I love that.
Well, I've seen blokes get beaten up by girls in the real world.
That's one that we should do, actually.
You know what I mean? Someone's a little bit too lippy in a nightclub. Whack.
Yeah, rightly so. See you later, mate.
Take one on the chin, mate.
One we should do,
and
sorry.
Obviously in the world of professional wrestling,
yeah.
You know, I've seen Rey Mysterio Jr. beat the Big Show.
Yeah. After nearly being decapitated on the back of a stretcher.
Horrendous. Yeah. One of the most horrendous things that's ever happened in wrestling, man. God bless his soul and neck and head. But yeah, one of the most horrendous things that have ever happened in wrestling.
So are you going for Terry Twins or Dom and Liv? And we'll make it a competition going forward. I'll go for Dom and Liv.
Yeah, Terry Twins, I think.
Should be a good one, I'm excited.
Yeah, be very good.
Let's end just where we can get this insight. I feel like I've asked a few of these questions just because they've come up, like the table question. But Adam Fry, good friend of mine at home listening, love the podcast.
Hi,
he just wanted to know, how do you get into wrestling?
So, arguably, I imagine if you had a guess at it, you'd probably guess correctly.
Yeah.
So, you watch it on the telly, it's really good. So then you and your brother pull the mattresses downstairs and you have WrestleMania every day, yeah. Every day when your mum goes out to work.
I did that, but I'm an only child. So it was me versus the pillow.
Well,
every time.
You just swanton bombing against a teddy bear off the
let's just say I bought myself to win.
There you go. You probably were up a lot. You probably won a lot of matches.
Nah, that pillow beat the shit out of me.
Yeah, and you know, you used neatly folded denim jeans for title belts.
Oh no, I didn't do that.
No, good.
Oh, that's
neither
good,
did
though.
I.
No. You got the real damn thing.
I have now. Yeah. Actually, here's a cool story. I was cleaning out the loft at my mum's.
Yeah.
Make it kind of like going through my old shit. You know, like you find those boxes of the original Corinthian figures.
Oh, which one? What was that? Like early 90s?
Oh. Yeah. Early mid.
Okay.
So, yeah, the original Corinthian figures, I've got an absolute
they like them,
shitload
like
of those.
Plasticky, mouldy
ones.
Heads. Yeah, right,
little
got
big
you,
heads.
Yeah.
A load of old mobile phones that are always quite good.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like Sony Ericsson.
The Walkman one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Orange. Before, the Walkman's T28i or something it was.
Yeah, just put a little memory card in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and I had a Sony J5 where you could record the ringtone.
I don't want to show off, but good. I've actually got 256 megabyte card in there.
Yeah,
I can have 8 to 9 songs.
Yeah, I have my You would you used to have to go to these machines and you could download a ringtone.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
Crazy Frog.
Fucking old. Yeah. Anyway, so in that box of stuff was two of the foam. Intercontinental, I think it was.
The title that you used to buy off
WWF.com.
Love that.
And how wonderful is it that you fast forward 20 years or whatever, 30 years, and I've actually won two real WWE championships, which is cool.
Just, I'm going to ask a question. Sorry, Fry. When you get the titles from WWE, are those yours for that moment? And then, like, retrospectively, because you all see wrestlers' houses, like, did they just get those designed?
Yeah, you could just
get one done.
Ask whoever's in charge and you say, can I have a...
A replica.
A keepsake. A memento of this wonderful occurrence.
And is carrying a championship round a real bastard?
It's quite cool, really. You know, it's a good talking point at security. You know, when you're going through security.
Does it have to obviously go through the...
Yeah, so you just send... You got, putting something like that in a check-in bag and then getting your check-in bag lost.
Yeah.
Because I fly so much now anyway that... You're just increasing your risk, your chances of losing stuff.
Got you.
You know, if you go on holiday twice a year, then everything should be fine and everything should be okay. But when you go a transatlantic flight twice a month, every month, you're increasing your chances of getting your stuff lost. And over the course of this year, I've had my bag lost.
Too many times.
Yeah, like maybe 10 times.
Should you do like your stuff on you that you wrestling gear with you?
Wrestling gear, wrestling titles, anything that I actually need comes with me, and then, you know, merch or whatever or like my actual clothes.
You
can just take a risk on that and just run to Primark or Uniqlo or whatever and then top yourself up for the days that you need to go. But it's very frustrating because normally like all your washing stuff and obviously large amount of hair products.
Wow, yeah.
That go in there. That
luscious locks.
Yeah. Anyway, what were we saying?
No, that was it, really.
It's lovely carrying it around. Obviously, you know, it makes you feel like a wrestler.
Yeah.
But, you know, in no level of disrespect to anyone who's a champion, it is obviously part of the industry.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it is a direct reflection of the work or effort that you put in.
Got you.
Because there are some people who don't win titles that are just as important to professional wrestling as people who do win titles.
Yeah.
And it is obviously very nice to win a championship. You know, it's a wonderful thing. But, you know, if it happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. And And, you know, from a wrestling standpoint, one of the most important things for me personally, anyway, is when you do have this gift from a promotion or WWE or whatever it is to be the champion of, you know, that kind of brand or whatever for that period of time. The most important thing as a professional wrestler, it comes to me, is obviously representing it on the highest level.
Yeah.
But then where that goes after. Yeah. You know, I feel like in professional wrestling as a wrestler, your career is a lot more defined by how you kind of pass it on.
Got you.
Rather than what you actually achieve, you know. So the fan side of it is like, you know, Ric Flair won 15 world championships.
Yeah.
But how many superstars did he make in dropping that title to someone else and giving Dusty or whatever their first ever championships and things like that? So
maybe he was thinking that far ahead. He was like, he's going to have a certain that's going to main event the WrestleMania and that'll be the
You'd
moment.
You'd like to think so. But yeah, so that for me is the best thing about having the title is obviously looking forward to what you can generate for the wrestling fans by passing it on to whoever's next.
And for you, that's wrestling.
And that is wrestling, man.
Love that. We'll be back. We'll pop this one out and then we're going to be back next week. And then also I want to start looking at interviews. So we need to get our heads together.
Who should we have on the show?
Well, we've had Speedballs obviously followed us on the Instagram. So that's
excellent.
Great. AJ Francis has followed us on the Instagram.
He would be very entertaining.
Yeah, would he? Yeah, he looks like he's got some good stories to tell.
Good, yeah.
And then
He's done some cool stuff, man.
Sorry, just before we go.
Please.
The Pete Dunne segment. Pete Dunne fighting for the IC title. Number one contender match, which I think he'll win. But right. Pete's getting a rub.
So the qualifier was last night.
The qualifier for the number one contender, Miz and... Oh, God. Xavier Woods?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
So he's qualified for the number one contender for Bash at Berlin.
No, that'll be on the Raw after.
Okay. That's
the Raw after that, I think.
Which will still be in Berlin, or are we coming back from that?
No, they're back in Denver.
Oh, wonderful. So Denver, Colorado. That's wonderful. Yeah, it's exactly what he deserves. He's one of the best wrestlers to ever come out of this country, one of the best wrestlers on the planet right now. And I think it's going to be a very lovely time for British and English wrestling fans to be able to watch.
Like me, I'm going to be picking shit.
Exactly. Watch this geezer keep continuing to grow and keep continuing to evolve as a performer and get to that kind of
next level.
Upper echelon of professional wrestling, which is, you know, it is hard to get to. And, you know, as a maybe a smaller looking guy, you have to have so many different facets to your character, like we were talking about with Daniel Bryan earlier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I know that Pete is a very big fan of Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson. And we would used to sit there and, you know, when we were a little bit sad about wrestling and we're in the hotel room and we've got the iPad out and we would watch the Daniel Bryan and Bryan Danielson MVs on YouTube. Find them. They're incredible. Very motivational stuff. But, you know, watching his career path with Dragonborn and the Bryan Danielson story and things like that, that's the reason why Pete Dunne's there at the top of the card, because it's things like that that will kind of spur you on to change the kind of mould of what a professional wrestler is or should be. And
love that.
And hopefully WrestleMania 46, WrestleMania 50, we see.
In Wolverhampton.
Pete Dunne on the announce table with the Universal Championship, kind of living that dream. But, you know, let's see how we go. He deserves everything he gets.
Thank you very much for all your support. If you are listening on Spotify, we're going to put the video podcast out very soon once the green light's been given. Make sure you drop a follow on there and drop a comment in what question you want to ask Trent, anything about wrestling, and we'll ask the best ones
on there.
Who
should we have on the show?
Who should we have on the show? What questions do you want? Where can you get the merch? Go and see him live. All his dates will be there. And also, what was I going to say? Make sure you just drop us a follow and a rating as well. The ratings, I need 5 stars.
Oh,
we need a Dave Meltzer 5 star.
You become the Dave Meltzer of your own world.
Yeah, exactly.
And just start gifting 5 stars to That's exactly. Wrestling.
Love that. Trent, always a pleasure. Hey. It's one of those.
No, one of these.
One of these.
Cheers.
Sorry.
It's all right, don't worry about it.